Welcome to the CCFR Radio Podcast, your source for news, updates, and stories from the CCFR.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 169 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Rod Giltacka. Thanks for joining me again today on the show. We've got an action-packed episode for you, as usual. We've got the interview that I mentioned with Sean Alexander from Kailani Outdoors. Sean will be on, and they're a great partner of the CCFR, so really happy to share this with you. The Commissioner of Firearms Report for 2022 decided to surface in the middle of 2024, and there's some interesting numbers in there for us to discuss. Also, a cheeky lawyer now has to apologize to the CCFR. I guess that's your episode of FAFO for this bi-weekly podcast. And I had a remarkable trip to Ottawa just about a week and a half ago, and that was for the Conservative Party of Canada Outdoor Industry Symposium. And we've got some interesting insights from that trip. So all that and more, the CCFR Radio Podcast starts right now. A huge thank you goes out to our great friends over at the Saskatchewan Rivers Chapter of Safari Club International. They do a lot of great work over there, including supporting the CCFR and the CCFR Radio Podcast. Check out all their great work at saskriversSCI.com. That's saskriversSCI.com. And thank you so much to our great friends over at Vortex Canada. They continue to support the CCFR podcast and the CCFR. Can't say enough about them. Check out all their great products at vortexcanada.net. That's vortexcanada.net. Vortex, the force of optics. Need a new boomstick? Bullseye North is Canada's shooting superstore and a proud supporter of the CCFR. With a wide selection of guns and top trending gear for any shooter, they have what you need. Plus, free shipping over $250, which includes ammo, or flat rate shipping of $17 under $250. Some conditions apply. Subscribe to their weekly newsletter to get first access to the hottest deals. CTOMS has been a provider of trauma care training to military and police in Canada for nearly two decades. Now this emergency medical training is being made available to a wider audience through CTOMS online courses. Go to ctomsacademy.com and use promo code CCFR30 to get 30% off. That's ctomsacademy.com. All right, we are back. So as I mentioned in the intro, we're going to have that interview with Sean Alexander from Kailani Outdoors. And it's actually a really interesting chat. It's short and I had to edit it, you'll see, and because I don't deceptively edit. But I had to make it for television format, which is those segments, at least the segments when I do them on our show, they're 7 minutes. We do two seven-minute segments, a five-minute intro kind of segment or monologue, and then, you know, a 2 or 3 minute outro. So that's just the way that we do it. So I kind of had to edit that down, but it is an interesting conversation. So I hope you'll enjoy that. Right after that, we'll bring on Wilson for our chat that we do every episode. And I just have something I want to cover with you real quick before we move on to that. And I guess the setup to this is, I've said before, I've been alive for 55 years and I've never seen Canada the way that it is right now. Like, it's just upside down world, right? And it's just, when it comes to media and it comes to the political class, I've never encountered so many people with so little integrity. Like, when people, like, if you lie to somebody about something meaningful, that should hurt, right? Like, that should feel wrong to you because it is wrong. If you intentionally mislead somebody because you want something, you know, like, that should, like, that's bad, right? You know, like, I know I sound like some kind of radical right-wing extremist. And I mean that on either side of the political spectrum, right? It still shocks me, especially when doctors do it, when people that the public are paying to do a job, like for politicians, when people that are demanding that we trust them and they tell us that we should trust them over everyone else, like the media does. Like, I just, you know, and I think that it's bad for all the obvious reasons, but it also plays a part in the degradation of your society, in the degradation of your civilization. When everyone is corrupt, It's and people lose faith, I think there's a large segment of the population that come to the conclusion that there is no social contract anymore, that the only thing that means anything is force. And when you get to that point, everything just gets wrecked. And so who is it that's contributing to these things? It's all of the people that are in a race to the bottom. It's the people that are like, integrity's overrated. I'm just going to say whatever I need to say because everybody else is doing it, right? Everyone else is involved in it, so why shouldn't I get my piece, right? And it's that's the way to the end, in my opinion. So the reason why I was, I think about this stuff a lot, obviously, because I have to deal with politics every day. But the reason I'm mentioning it today is there's a video by Brian Lilly from the Toronto Sun, and I just wanted to play it for you. Check it out.
The Trudeau Liberals have been bragging online about their record on gun crime and gun control. Let me just look at Toronto for a second, because that's where Marcy Ian, MP for Toronto Centre and Trudeau Cabinet Minister, was boasting that it's now illegal to buy, sell, transfer or import a handgun. Well, that's only for people who follow the law, because if you look at Toronto shootings, including recent ones involving a 14-year-old kid or two men shot during a drive-by, this is not duck hunters and sport shooters. These are gangsters with handguns causing this problem. And we've had 193 shootings so far in Toronto this year. That's more than they had for the entire year of 2014 before the Trudeau Liberals took office. So do you really want to be bragging about that while also bragging about your record of reducing sentences for serious crimes, including gun crimes, and making bail automatic? Marcy Ian and the rest of the Liberals should probably sit this one out.
Yeah, well, you know, everything that Brian Lilly just said is true. Like, it's true, you know, and I don't say it's true because it benefits gun owners or makes fun of the Liberals. I mean, it's demonstrably true. Like, the Liberals did those things. And that was Bill C-75 and Bill C-5, if I remember correctly, where they're like, yeah, these criminal offenses like terrorism or kidnapping, or I think there was might have been sex offenses in there. I'm not sure. I can't remember. So don't quote me on that. But then like, you know, gun firearm offenses. Yeah, we don't want them to be indictable offenses only anymore. We want them to be hybrid offenses so people can get off with a fine. Like just, you know, and they, of course, they're more than happy that the courts are, you know, struck down a couple of mandatory minimums. Right. And it's like, well, yeah, the courts did that. It wasn't the Liberals. And it's like, yeah, well, the Liberals sure didn't fight it, did they? They didn't say, oh, is that right, courts? Well, we think that criminals belong in jail. So what we're going to do is we're going to pass legislation to make it that they're going to end up in jail. Or we're going to, instead of making things hybrid offenses, we're going to make them indictables only. You know, but anyway, whatever. And let's not forget, I just want to play you one more clip. Do you remember this one with Jennifer O'Connell, right? Like, where did these people come from? Anyway, I'm going to get off the soapbox. Check this out. See if you remember this one.
To my honorable colleague, I don't know if he was here earlier, but the opposition House leader, she came in her speech and read out statistics of gun violence. And in fact, she tried to blame Liberals for an increase in violence. However, it's actually under the very legislation that Conservatives enacted with mandatory minimums that saw an increase in crime rates. So could the member speak about...
Order. Let's get the question.
I don't know. I wear it with a badge of honor. I don't know who upsets the opposition more, myself or the member for Kingston and the Islands. But when it comes to the fact that the Conservatives had failed policies when it came to the criminal justice system, can my honorable member comment on their failures?
That's the best you've done.
The member for...
And in fact, she tried to blame liberals for an increase in violence.
Okay. There's a rant incoming, and I'm going to apologize to all of you for putting you through it, but I need you to help me with therapy, okay? So, dude, when I say where do they find these people, I mean that in the most literal possible sense. Like, does the Liberal Party or maybe any party, political party, just to be fair. But in this case, do the Liberals actively seek out, do they sift through society and actively seek out pure psychopaths? People so broken, so malevolent that they can't distinguish between right and wrong. They just don't have the parts in their head to figure out what the difference is and why that's significant. Like people that just, it's like, I don't understand integrity. Like they truly don't understand what it is. And they don't understand the consequences Like, I don't think they truly understand the consequences of behaving the way that they do. And not only that, and the reason why I say they're so broken and they're psychopaths is because clearly if you look at it, you know, from the 30,000 foot view, you really look at it, it's like they don't even care about the consequences to themselves, like to their own careers. Like they literally just set fire to everything and they keep setting fire to it until they're caught up in the flames. And then, you know, you're like, well, didn't you see that coming? You know, it's really weird. I mean, I'll give you an example. Like just this morning, there was a story about the liberals taking one plane to some junket in some other country and they ran up $200,000 in food and booze during that trip. Like, what did they take 1,500 people with them? Like, how is that even possible? How could they fit 1,500 people on the plane? But I mean, how is that even possible? I feel like sometimes I'm living in some kind of simulation, like, or I'm having some flashback, some hallucination. Like, how do you run up $200,000 worth of food and booze? Like, how angry, how disdainful you must be to the Canadian taxpayer, to the common people, to even do that, right? Like, how much would you hate Canadians to in order to even do that? Right, to let that happen. Now, I'll tell you, the Conservatives are going to win a massive majority government, right? Unless nuclear war breaks out or whatever before then, which who knows, right? The way that that the people are pushing war, it's unbelievable. But the Conservatives will not only form, I don't think we'll just form a majority, it'll probably be a supermajority. So I'm very confident that we'll get what we want as gun owners. And you know what? That's great. But there's a lot more going on in this country than just guns. And I truly hope that the Conservatives will raise the bar up again, because what a race to the bottom it has been in Canadian politics and politics around the world, but certainly in Canada. In Canada, it has just been just devastating, devastating to the idea that we were once such a great country, because I grew up in this country. I was born here. And I assure you, in the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s, it was a great, great country. And I've never seen anything like this. So, wow. I mean, just that last one with Jennifer O'Connell, like, it's astounding. So anyway, I apologize for the rant. Sorry. Okay, it was only 2.5 minutes. So, but I still apologize because I try hard to keep at least some kind of air of levity in these podcasts, because we do deal with a lot of negative stuff, and I try to keep it as light as I possibly can, while at the same time communicating the gravity of what goes on, especially with the government that we've been suffering under for 9 years, right? I knew I wasn't going to agree with the Liberals. I knew they're probably going to do some gun control, but I didn't vote for them, don't get me wrong, but I couldn't have imagined what these people have done. So along with the NDP and the Bloc, just standing there, and the ridiculous, completely absurd Green Party. Like, good God, man, what an absurd small group of people. So anyway, all right, rant's over. So do I feel better? That's the question. I'm not sure that I do. But anyway, I definitely got that off my chest. But if you wanted a safer Canada and you voted for Liberals, or you voted for the NDP, or you voted for the Bloc, you were sadly mistaken. So hopefully next time around, the next election, you'll just go with the Conservatives. Are they going to be better? I believe that they are, but I don't know that. But certainly we can hold their feet to the fire and make sure that that they make Canada a safe, welcoming place to be again. But anyway, all right, let's move on to the interview with Sean Alexander. So check it out. All right, we're back. So in the studio today, we have a special guest, Sean Alexander from Kailani Outdoor. Sean, how are you?
Very good. Thanks, Rod.
Well, thanks for coming today. I really appreciate that. So today we're going to chat about cancel culture and, you know, partnering with different groups when you have a for-profit business and sort of the risks there. And so it should be pretty interesting. But I do want to preface it first with just a really sincere thank you for all your help. Just in case people didn't tune in the last episode, you and your company donated a Lanai tumbler for, like, we sell them in the store for $35. You donated 200 of those for all of our AGM guests as a free gift, and it was a really generous donation, as well as a cooler prize pack for the auction. So I just want to thank you for that. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Happy to do it.
Yeah. All right. So I think before we get into this whole kind of cancel culture thing and some of our thoughts about what's going on in Canada as it applies to firearms or whatnot, can you give us just a quick overview of your company?
So Kailani was started in 2020, right at the very beginning of COVID. I used to work in the oil and gas sector, and then due to a layoff, had to figure out what I was going to do. And I started up Kailani, and it was selling paddle boards to my neighbors, and hence the name, which means sea and sky. And it was simply just a little side gig out of my garage. And I quickly found out that not everybody wants to do that, paddleboard or even be on the water. And so for that, from that point, I knew of the big cooler brand that's out there that we all know and love, and they make a great product. And I just could never get by the price. And so I never bought one. And so I thought, you know, could I manufacture these overseas, bring them into Canada, and distribute them and sell them. And, you know, 4 years later, here I am. And, we built this, phenomenal business, and we now call ourselves, you know, I think it's fairly well earned, is, we're Canada's fastest growing outdoor lifestyle brand.
Well, it's certainly nice stuff. I'll say that. And, you know, we're not sponsored by you. It's really nice stuff.
Appreciate.
So, yeah, and I really appreciate the product and everything you've done for us. And apparently you've decided that you wanted to partner with the CCFR.
Yeah, I felt, you know, we talked about this just before we started here. I became a member in CCFR probably in 2020, but I knew of the organization a long time ago, but I became a member after April 30th, 2020. And even though I was just starting my company at that time, as we got rolling, I've always followed what the CCFR does. And I thought it's imperative with what's happened with this gun grab that companies and individuals that own these companies and leaders, and for the most part, everybody looks at this as a personal property rights issue, and you got to get up and you got to support this. So I decided to do what I could with my company and lend you guys a support, whether it was buying a corporate membership. And in this case, when we donated all these products for you, and also you guys being able to sell our products on your website to CCFR members who want CCFR branded, you know, products. Well, we can do that too. So, I think it's important and it's imperative that we have to be on the offensive and protect our rights as individuals. So that's really why I'm here, is hopefully to empower other business leaders and community members that have a platform and to speak out. Because next thing, you're going to be coming for your cars. They're going to be coming for your tools, you know, and yeah, we need to stand up and say no.
Well, I think part of it too is when we say things like they're coming for this next, or they're coming for the next group, like as it applies to firearms, you know, it's target shooters are the tip of the spear. They're the first to get their stuff taken. You know, while other people that maybe have less aggressive looking firearms, you know, can sit back and say, well, they'll never get to me. Until you tell them no, they just keep going. They keep going to the point where you start resisting that, where you say, no, that you've taken too much already. This is where it stops, period. And we'll do everything we possibly can to stop you from progressing. Humans are humans. Until they hear that and they know that you mean it, they'll just keep going. But I guess that was my personal opinion. But one of the things I wanted to chat with you briefly about is it seems like today cancel culture is so virulent and it's so prevalent. It's like you're always making somebody angry. If you're not making somebody angry on the far left of the political spectrum, you're making somebody angry on the far right. Like, what do you think about the risk of I don't know if taking a side is not the right way to say it.
I did think about the risk when I was coming out here. Do I align myself with the CCFR? I mean, I've aligned myself now with you know, a number of organizations that are outlined on our partner page on our website, and you know, and I think you know, I think this just, I know that there could be some backlash here. But being a business owner as opposed to an employee now of a company where I work for someone and report to someone, I'm willing to take that chance. And I think that I'm willing to sit here in a chair and debate an individual as well that wants to take my firearms, right? I'm willing to do that as you are, as many people in the industry are. And I think if we're not willing to do that, we're not willing to defend our own personal rights, then you can't complain or bitch when your stuff is taken. And everybody's got to come together and stand up for what's right. And I'm willing to face that backlash.
If I were to add something, I think that there's a leadership role there I think people are starting to wake up and starting to figure out that they have to get involved. And I think the more businesses, like more people like you that make that decision, it's like, yeah, I don't care what everybody says. I'm not going to please. There's no way to please everybody, right? Because we're so polarized these days.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't disagree. I think if I can empower anybody from this interview and doing what we're doing, if there's any other companies out there that like what you guys are doing and can get behind it, get the courage to speak up and support organizations like yours, because it's a job that's got to be done by someone, and you guys do it well, and you put a lot of time in. So thank you again.
Well, it's our pleasure.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, we're out of time. Okay. Thank you for coming out and for everything you've done for the CCFR, and good luck with the business.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming today.
Thanks, Rod. Appreciate it.
All right, via Skype, we've got Tracy Wilson of the CCFR. Wilson!
Giltaka!
How's it going?
We are burning up here. We are in a heat dome. It's also called summer, but yeah, it's warm. 44 degrees here in the nation's capital.
Oh, it sounded like you were going to say something else there. Did you just lose your train of thought or blank out?
No, that's it. It's 44 degrees in the nation's capital. I just thought you should know.
Okay. Well, it's like icy cold. This is the worst summer that we've had in recent memory here in the lower mainland of British Columbia. It's like 15 degrees today.
I thought you lived out there for the weather. Yeah. What's going on?
I don't know what's going on, but it sucks because it's almost July and we're not getting any summer. So...
Well, we've already had a whole summer's worth, and we're mid-June. So
yeah, I'm trying to participate in this global warming, but it's not working.
Pay more taxes. You're not paying enough.
I thought I was paying No, I'm paying more than enough because it's cold.
Yeah. Oh, right.
I can't keep up. All right. So, Eureka! I know how this works now. All right. So we've got a lot of things to cover. Well, not a lot, but a fair amount of stuff to cover, so we've got to get at it. The first thing, really important, I think it's the last two episodes, we haven't had time to go through this, but it's really important that we do, and that is to individually thank everyone, all the individuals and businesses that contributed product or services to our AGM as auction items.
Yeah, that's right. So there's a big list. I'm going to rattle them off, but these are the people and the companies who donated items for the auction. We've got MDT, Italian Sporting Goods, International Shooting Supplies, Reliable Gun, Bear Paw Taxidermy, Wolverine Range Outfitters, JP Klenhein Safari, Kailani Outdoors, Select Shooting Supplies, Coeur d'Alene Sporting Goods, Calgary Shooting Center, Benelli Canada, Savage Arms, Arizin Woods, SFRC, Vortex, Bullseye North, Proline Sports, Buck Knives, Greywood Sporting Group, Browning Canada, Gravel Agencies, Jason Philp, Tactical Imports, Benchmade, Big Rock Sports, and Dante Sports sent basically a truckload of stuff. So, yeah, huge thank you.
That's really awesome. And, these people all sent some pretty extravagant gifts, some pretty extravagant prizes, and everyone was really generous with us. And it's like for me to say thank you so much for all the help or whatever. It just doesn't feel like it's enough, but it's just I just really want to thank all those people for really helping us, because we're doing the best that we can, and I just want everyone to keep in their minds, like, those business names that you heard, these are people that are giving back to your community, right? Mm-hmm. You're buying their products and they're giving something back to you, because that was a lot of help to us. So anyway, and also, while we're on the subject, I also want to thank the legend, Jim Shockey, for coming out and being our keynote speaker. Thank you again, Jim, for that. And also Mickey Amory, the Minister of Justice for the province of Alberta. So thank you, Minister Amory, for coming out and giving us a great speech. So really appreciate everyone who pitched in to make the AGM happen. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now... we get to talk about something fun, which is, we get pilloried a lot on Twitter because, you know, we represent licensed gun owners in Canada that would be so bold, so audacious that they would go through the system, jump through all the hoops to get a firearms license to legally own and use firearms. I mean, what could be worse? But you bumped into someone that should know better, a lawyer from the Vancouver area, who decided that he would defame you and defame the CCFR.
Yeah, that's right. I was actually having a back and forth with someone, woman on Twitter. I don't know who she is. But she said, you're a gun lobbyist. You're the worst kind of person. And I was going back and saying, I'm a mom and a grandma and we're a military family. And so we were going back and forth. And out of nowhere, this guy, Chris Johnson from Vancouver, injects himself into our conversation. And he states, you are a gun lobbyist. You promote violence in our country. Your children and grandchildren will be ashamed. And I was like, wait a minute. You know, okay. So I guess he wanted to fool around and find out. And there was a lot of back and forth. General counsel to the CCFR, Mike Loberg, jumped in the conversation in my defense. And he said, hi, Chris, I'd like to give you a proper opportunity to substantiate your public statement that Ms. Wilson promotes violence in our country. How would you like to do that? So right there, you know, this kind of became a legal matter. Chris Johnson deleted his tweet. And then he deleted his whole Twitter account. But that didn't stop the onslaught of emails. And, of course, he was served with a defamation notice by CCFR lawyer Michael Loberg. They went back and forth for a period of time. And then on the 10th of June, we received an apology from Chris Johnson. And he apologized about his statements. He retracted it fully and apologize for any distress that he may have caused me or the CCFR. And what's really interesting to me is it had to go so far. Like, we can disagree on policy all you want. Like, maybe you don't agree with legal firearms ownership, and that's okay. But you can't lie about me, right? And you can't lie about the CCFR, or we're going to call you on it. And in particular, he's a lawyer. He knows better. He knows that was defamatory. So just don't lie. Like, I don't know. It was just a weird interaction. But in any event, I intend to publish his apology for all to see.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think we've talked about it before. Just not lying is not a high bar. And it's just, it's really amazing to me how many people just can't seem, to observe that general decency. And I mean, we deal with stuff like this every day. And we know the conversation gets really rough, especially the people that we have to interact with, like Polly and the docs and all these people that they play the player. They don't play the puck, right? They don't want to debate about the issues. They just attack you personally all the time. And then, you know, when you rebuff them, you know, when you know, it's interesting because I think back to the docs and they're like, oh, you know, you've come after us. Now you're trying to silence doctors. It's like, silence doctors. I'll give you an example. It's funny because I was thinking about it. And it's like, okay, we're the ones that are silencing doctors. Like, for instance, saying, hey, docs, why don't you come at our invitation to an auditorium in your neighborhood in downtown Toronto? We'll film the whole thing and we'll have a friendly conversation about these issues. And then we'll give you a copy of it and the right to use it all you want, like a nice edited, fully covered copy of it. And we'll donate $15,000 to the Boys and Girls Club of Toronto.
Totally, right? Sounds like silencing.
Yeah. And you know, for us to have a civil conversation instead of all of this crap flinging back and forth online. And, you know, we ended up with a slew of insults, you know, call it the Rodney and Tracy clown show and all the rest of that stuff from one of their executive members, right, at the time.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, it's like, that's what you call silencing doctors, right? So it's just interesting how... And I'm not going to say it's always on their side of the political spectrum, but it seems like it's the majority of it is that just irrational, you know, just throwing insults and defamation and whatever. I mean, we're currently in lawsuits right now for defamation, for people doing exactly the same thing, saying something is completely untrue with only the intent of trying to destroy our reputation so that people don't listen to what we have to say. And it's like, man, you know, like, why don't you just not do that? Because I think the conversation that we're having about public safety and firearm ownership, right, as an actual thing, like, those are, to me, those are important conversations, and that we should really drill down and, like, are licensed gun owners really a problem with public safety? Are we better off without it? Or is there any value to owning it? Like, all that stuff's important. And it doesn't have to be some big defamatory, like, I'll destroy your reputation and try to destroy you forever, rather than to talk about the points, like really talk about the facts and debate it. It's just, It's always interesting how you have to take someone all the way to the brink of an actual lawsuit that'll drag on for 3 years just to have them go, yeah, I lied about that and I shouldn't have said it. Why don't you just do that or just take it back immediately? Go, yeah, I shouldn't have said that.
I think you're asking for more than they can give.
Yes. And not right now in general.
Yes.
All right. Let's move on. Okay. So I made a trip to Ottawa a couple of weeks ago, or I guess was it a week ago, week and a half ago. And it was really interesting. It was for the Conservative Party of Canada's Outdoor Industry Symposium. It was the first time that I attended. You've attended before. And I used to travel for a living, so I hate to travel. But I was really glad to be there. I learned a lot of stuff, and it was really an interesting experience.
So this event has really evolved over the last couple of years. I've been going for a long time. You know, there was a couple of years break with COVID and everything else. But this used to just sort of be a get together where you'd have an opportunity to speak to some senators and MPs, enjoy some wild game and some delicacies, a little bit of music. And that was kind of it. Right. And now it's become this like 2-day extravaganza where you're meeting with other stakeholders from the outdoor industry. It's not just hunters and firearms. You know, there's fisheries and fishermen and conservation and all kinds of different stakeholders there. So it's really important because you do a lot of networking, and then you can also sort of, you know, talk about your plight as a gun owner. And that's exactly what you did. You got to address the crowd and all of the stakeholders that were there. And that's really important. There was people there talking about invasive species, and then really important, the anti-hunting sentiment that we're seeing globally, actually, and the gun control agenda, but specifically the 30 by 30 by 30 agenda. And what that is they're talking about, the plan is 30% of land and 30% of waterways in Canada would be inaccessible to average everyday Canadians like you and I by 2030 in 6 years. And the 50 by 50 by 50 agenda is the exact same recipe. 50% of land, 50% of waterways, inaccessible to average Canadians by 2050. And people may think, well, this sounds like conservation. It's not conservation. What we're doing now is conservation. This is preservation. This means limiting your access to it. It can't be used for anything. It is off limits to you. And that puts hunting and fishing at an absolute in peril, without doubt. Like it's actually a really big conversation. I look forward to discussing it more and fixing it. But yeah, it's a problem.
It is a real problem. And again, right, I just want to stress, it's not that there's new rules or this or that. Like, you are not allowed as a commoner to go into those areas. 50% of the country and 50% of the waterways. Like, that's a big deal. Like, I'm a pretty cheeky citizen. I think that, you know, I own, of all the Crown land in Canada, I own 1/40 millionth of it, right? Like, that's the way I look at it, because I'm a citizen and I was born here and I pay taxes, right? So I'm like, okay, well, I'm getting something for it. I'm not just some prisoner in a district like on the Hunger Games, right? And apparently that's exactly what you are. We're going to corral you into your little area, and that's where you're going to stay. And if you set foot into the forest or onto any of this land that we've now made it inaccessible to you, then there's going to be consequences. You don't go there. You don't have the right to go there. And that's pretty wild. Like, I think to quote Chrystia Freeland, other than Mr. Speaker, right? But to quote her, she's like, let that sink in. And that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, so there's a lot more work to be done on this, and I'm really glad that the Conservatives are focusing their energy on it and really making the other groups aware about it, because, you know, this isn't some conspiracy theory, although I'm tired of apologizing to those guys too, but this is an actual thing. And then, of course, after 2 days of networking and meetings and learning and digesting all this cool stuff, there's a garden party, and of course, this is held at Pierre Poilievre's over at Stornoway, the official residence of the official opposition. It's a great time, a little bit of live music, some real wildlife delicacies from all across the country. So it's a great opportunity to try real Canadian dishes and once again, kind of network and just celebrate all that the outdoors is in Canada, which is really important to a big number of people. So,
yeah, I was really glad that I went. And
I'm glad too.
And that I learned a lot about these invasive species. Like, I don't know anything about that kind of stuff. It was really cool.
Yeah.
And
yeah, that was cool.
And you also realize, like, oh, there's a lot going on. Like, you know, there's a lot going on, a lot of problems that that people are dealing with, you know, or trying to mitigate. Not just the gun issue, but, you know, that's what we focus on. All right. So moving on, we just got a hold of the 2022 Commissioner of Firearms report here in the middle of 2024. So better late than never, I guess. And you ended up getting a nice little summary from a fellow Twitter influencer.
Yeah, that's right. So Marty Up North, I follow that account. You should too. He took the opportunity. I've been busy as heck, but he did exactly what I wanted to do, was kind of go through the report, pick out some of those really important highlights. And he did a great thread on Twitter. I've reshared it so you can find it. I think the CCFR account did as well. But I'm going to run over some of the numbers that he picked out in that thread with you here just to kind of highlight. What's interesting is, now remember, this is 2022, so 2023 is not out yet. We're halfway through 24, so we'll see what happens. But in 2022, the RCMP firearms program processed 433,064 firearm license applications. Just over 300,000 of those were renewals. But the really cool number here is almost 126,000 new gunnies were made in 2022. Now, I don't know if that's despite everything the Liberals have done or in spite of it, but I think that's a really, really interesting number. And only 923 applications were rejected. We sit in the top 10 per capita in gun ownership in the world. I think we're 7th or 8th. So a high rate of gun ownership, yet we are 110th in homicides per capita. Out of all the countries. So a lot of guns, we own a lot of firearms, but we're a very safe country.
That's weird.
Overall. And despite all the bans and trickery that the Liberals have done, Canadians still bought, registered, and registered 78,000 restricted firearms. So that's after the 2020 gun ban and after the freeze, right? You've got 78,000 restricted firearms. That's a lot. And the last number that I really thought was interesting was almost 500,000 Canadians, 495,443 Canadians are completely prohibited from owning any type of firearm. So those are the bad guys. And I was a little shocked to hear that number's that high, but that's a system working as it should. Those people should not own firearms and they are not permitted to, at least not legally.
Cool. Well, obviously the interesting number is how many people, new people that decided, yeah, you know, despite the relentless negative publicity campaign against owning firearms legally, you know, the Liberals, the NDP, and don't forget the Bloc, they're completely in there as well, have been perpetrating on Canadians. People are, I don't really believe that. I'm going to get my firearms license, including my restricted, and I'm going to join that community. And, you know, so that, though, like, I think those are really good numbers. And if you think about it, imagine what it's going to be like once this malevolent, incompetent, atrocious government is gone and things start to normalize. And, you know, the pressure's taken off gun owners for the acts of criminals. You're like, oh, you're just regular gun owners again. And here's your stuff back. Like, imagine what that's going to do for the community. It's going to be really great. It's like a fantasy to me.
Well, and that's why people ask me, is there any point in going and getting my restricted, or should I just take, you know, the regular PAL course right now? And I'm like, oh, no. If you have an opportunity to get in on restricted as well, do it all. Because I'll tell you what, when things get turned around and the pendulum swings the other way and things start getting reversed and we're able to go and get the things that we were able to get before, it's going to be insane. So you can either be sitting waiting like, oh, man, I wish I had that proper license to acquire those things, or you can already have it in your pocket. So, you know, I think courses will be just booked for years once things reopen. So, yeah, I would go and get that now, and then you've got it, right?
Absolutely.
Join the ranks.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's wrap it up with Field Officer of the Month. I forget for what month. I guess this would have been May, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Yeah. So I am happy to announce that Field Officer of the Month is Ontario's own Baz Kanda. So he's one of my local guys. He's in the Ottawa and Kingston type area, volunteers at a ton of events. He's a longtime field officer. I remember him coming to events and my pub nights like way back at the beginning. And interestingly enough, he is also the photographer for many of the photos, at least done in the eastern half of Canada, for the CCFR Gunny Girl calendar. So he's been an incredible help on that project and many other project works, a lot of shows. So a big thank you to Baz. He actually was just out at my National Range Day. He's just a wonderful guy and a really good friend.
Yes, Baz is awesome. And in case anyone's forgotten or Baz has forgotten what you get when you are Field Officer of the Month here at the CCFR, you get a year's free subscription to CATF, Canadian Access to Firearms, graciously donated every month by our great friend and relentless supporter, Donovan Dewis over there. So great, great guy and a great publication. And you also get a $100 promo code. CCFR's online store, so Baz can get himself a little more CCFR gear as if he needs more. But anyway, that's what's at stake as far as Field Officer of the Month is concerned. So thank you, Baz, and also thank you just to everybody that volunteers for the CCFR. We couldn't do 80% of what this organization does without you. So no joke. Yeah, really, really grateful for all the great help that we get. All right, yes, man. I think we covered it.
We did it.
We did it. All right. Well, thanks for the update, and I guess we'll see you next time.
All right. We'll see you then.
All right. We're back. And so I guess normally at this point I would say that's going to do it for episode 169 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. But, you know, I want to share something funny with you. So when I do the podcast, if you've watched this before, you probably have heard, I do the podcast and our television show on Wild TV, which is called CCFR Radio On the Air. I do them at the same time because they're very similar, although the TV show is way shorter because for television, right? 22 minutes and 30 seconds for a half hour show. So anyway, so I'm recording a lot of segments and I'm doing it all over the span of about 2 days. And we're just nearing the end of the season for our television show, which starts back up in season 4 actually this year in September. And so for the TV show alone, forget the podcast, but in the TV show alone, I've done 70 or 80 episodes. I don't even know how much it is, but somewhere around there. Going into 4th year, which is awesome, right? The gun lobby's never had a television show before in the history of the country, so it's pretty cool. But I will tell you, it's a lot of work and it has to be done every 2 weeks, right? It takes me about 3, sometimes 4 days, but usually about 3 days. And so anyway, all that to say, I'm veering off here, I digress, I guess. So I normally don't have anything on the desk, but I had Sean Alexander on from Kailani and we're getting more of their products because they're really premium, like they're really nice stuff, right? Which is great. And I typically don't do product placement because I guess it's two things, you know, I don't really remember and it's not a real big priority in my mind. And I don't like it when it's too much myself when I'm watching something because I'm trying to listen to what the point is instead of getting product shoved in my face all the time. So you guys have probably noticed, like I'll wear the clothes sometimes when I remember or I feel like it or whatever. So anyway, for this episode, I'm like, oh, I should have, you know, one of the cups. They're really nice and I should have them. I should be a responsible business person working on your behalf to raise money for the CCFR so we can continue to do the things that we do. And I should be having, you know, this cup on the desk, at least for this episode. Well, it's been so long, I haven't had anything on there. And I'm so stupid that I'm like, every time I go to record another segment, the corner of my eye, my peripheral vision, I see this. I'm like, who put this in here? It's in frame. And I'm like, it's supposed to be there and I put it there. So if you thought that I was bright, here's a spoiler alert for you. It's not the case. So anyway, I've been fighting moving this cup on and off the desk this whole time for like 2 days. So anyway, sorry that took so long. It was 2 minutes and 40 seconds to explain this to you, but I thought it was hilarious. Okay, so the one thing I wanted to just share with you before I let you go is this will be, okay, there'll be one more bi-weekly episode. So you'll have one more episode in 2 weeks of the podcast. And then we're going to be going to once a month for a couple of months. And then sometime between somewhere around the middle of September, we'll be going biweekly again at that point. So, and that, like I said, that coincides with the TV show because it's the only way that I can do both of these things and not go completely insane. So yeah, so we got one more episode 2 weeks from now, and then we'll be going monthly through the summer. All right. Yeah, that's about it. You can check out the new products that we have, the new Kailani tumblers that we have in the store. And I'm thinking, let me tell you this. I'm thinking we're going to get these because I had it on the desk and I'm like, well, we're not selling them in the store yet. But this is a Kailani product, and it's a double-walled stainless steel water container, and it's really nice. So whenever I'm going to go hunting or I'm going out into the bush or whatever, this is what I'm taking my water in. So I'm kind of excited about it, and it's like, here, let's see what it says. It's 1,900 milliliters. It's 1.9 liters of water. I find that like putting water in a water container, a lot of them are too small. So anyway. Not a shameless plug because we don't even sell the product yet, but we are getting those in the store probably within a month. So just so you know, that's going to be something we're selling as well. Anyway, thanks so much, everyone, for watching. Make sure that you share the podcast. Thanks, everyone, for your support. Thanks to everyone that that Tracy went through, all the names of all the companies and individuals that supported our AGM. When I saw all the things that people donated, I know I'm repeating myself, but it's just... I'm just so grateful for all the support that we have and that we can continue to enjoy the privilege of working on your behalf to try to preserve your legal ability to own and use firearms. I mean, we got big plans and a big project that I'm working on, right? The secret project. And when you find out about it, I think you're going to be very impressed with it. But we couldn't do any of that work without all you guys. So thank you so much for your support. Anyway. If you're not currently a supporter, you want to become a member or donate to the CCFR, you can do that at ccfr.ca or firearmrights.ca. Either one will get you there. Thanks again. Take care. And we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
This is another episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Remember, if you don't stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms, who will? Join the CCFR or donate right now at www.firearmrights.ca.